The kings of Lydia ruled as Philhellenes, that is, they loved things Greek. They maintained courts, and their most famous king is a man by the name of Croesus, who ruled somewhere from 561 to 547 or 546 BC. The kings of Lydia were synonymous with wealth. They loved anything Greek. They maintained courts where they attracted Greek philosophers, thinkers, savants, mercenaries. There's a number of marvelous stories told of Croesus as a host to famous Greek visitors from Athens and elsewhere. And the kings, the Myrmidad dynasty that had been ruling at Sardis since about 650 BC, had built a kingdom based on an old Hittite client kingdom. And the Lydians, we think, were simply Anatolians who survived the Bronze Age collapse and reinvented themselves as a new ethnic national group, whatever you want to call them, in the 7th century BC, and found themselves suddenly catapulted to power when the Phrygian political order fragmented around 650 BC. The Lydians, because of their unique position, were closely linked with the growing Greek cities on the Aegean shore. And that proved important because we're told by the historian Herodotus, who was a native of the town of Halicarnassus, a city on the western shore of Turkey today, that is a Greek from the Asian portion of Greece, from the western shores of Asia Minor. He reports that it was the Lydians who first came up with an extremely important device to facilitate commerce, coinage. The Lydian kings, somewhere between 650 and 625 BC, began to mint the first coins. Now, that doesn't mean there wasn't any money earlier. Commodities were used. Copper, gold, silver were all exchanged. Grain was still an important commodity. But the invention of coinage, and the earliest coins were electrum, an alloy of silver and gold, these facilitated state payments and very quickly were accepted in the marketplace and really facilitated trade and commerce because coins gave you a single measure of value. There was no dispute of what it was. It also allowed you to make change. So when you're swapping goats and sheep, you know, it's difficult to make change when three goats equal one sheep. Well, what do you do with one you know, you just can't cut a sheep up into little fractions, and it just doesn't work. Furthermore, coins don't spoil. There's no question of quality control. And the Lydian kings came up with coinage. That idea was transmitted to the Greeks, and the Greeks really seized upon it and used coinage as a major way of making not only state payments but facilitating trade. So our notions of money, our notions of coined money, which are now beginning to break down and being replaced by other types of money, these go back to the invention of coins sometime at the end of the 7th century, beginning of the 6th century BC in Lydia. The Lydian kings ruled not only over Lydia, but imposed their control over the western two-thirds of the peninsula of Asia Minor. They brought the various areas under their hegemony. And furthermore, they promoted Greek civilization. The western shores were dotted with Greek cities. The Lydian kings were in the forefront of patronizing Greek shrines. These included the great sanctuary of Artemis Ephesia, known to readers of the New Testament as Diana, Diana of Ephesus, Diana of the many breasts, as a Christian author calls her. And as I've noted many a time to students, those are not breasts on the cult statues. Those are bull's testicles, which represent the male fertility symbol. And there's a very learned study in German, of course, that elucidates why that's what they are. And they were called breasts, really probably by a Christian author to insult the cult. So that the Greek cities, while under a Lydian hegemony, actually prospered a great deal. The other shrine that received a great deal of patronage from Lydian kings was the shrine of Didyma, which was the oracle of Apollo, controlled by the city of Miletus, which I mentioned in previous lectures, was the first Greek colony planted on the shores of Asia Minor and emerged as really the great cultural and intellectual powerhouse of East Greece, that is, Greece in Asia Minor. So in many ways, the Lydian kings provided really an ideal condition that promoted Greek colonization in the Black Sea, promoted Greek intellectual life, economic development, and the Lydian kings were seen as a related, as friends of the Greeks, and the Lydians as a related people, as somehow an Anatolian people that had a lot in common with the Greeks. The same was true for two other people in southwestern Asia Minor, who, again, I mentioned earlier, are not very well known for in geopolitics, These are the Carians and the Lycians, and they dwell in what is now southwestern Turkey. Lycia is just south of Lydia. It's in a beautifully wooded area. Caria is just south of Lydia in a beautiful wooded area. And Lycia is that little bulge of peninsula in the southwest corner of Asia Minor.